This has already been a busy day. Worship, baptism, baby dedication, and now this amazing children's Christmas performance. I have a brief but simple message today, and I'm going to be talking from the book of Ezekiel. If you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 17, or if you have the Bible app, you can use your phone, click over there. If you're not familiar with the Bible app, it's a great tool. You can get just about any translation of the Bible, and you're going to need it today because I'm going to be talking both out of the New King James Version and the New Living Translation. But we are nearing the end of a theme for the fall, which has been from Genesis to Jesus. And I've been breaking this into different series, and the series that we're in here at the end of the year is called King of Kings. And we've been going through sort of a history of the Old Testament leading up until Jesus. And we're in the prophets. We talked about Isaiah 2 weeks ago. We talked about Jeremiah last week. And today we're talking about from the book of Ezekiel. My message today is entitled The Christmas Tree. The Christmas Tree. And before we get into this, let me tell you a little bit about Ezekiel. You may be wondering, first of all, what in the world does Charlie Brown and Christmas have to do with the book of Ezekiel? Well, I'm going to get to that, but let me share a little bit about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was written around 565 BC, before Jesus. When you read the last few chapters of the book of Ezekiel, it sounds very familiar if you've ever read the New Testament, and it sounds very similar to the book of Revelation. It would be easy to get caught up in the imagery and the symbols and all the end-time prophecies and miss the main point of either of those books. The book of Revelation literally says it's not a revelation about the end times. It literally says that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And likewise, Ezekiel is having a revelation of God, and specifically the coming Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. God wants to reveal himself through his word. Let me just read to you. You don't have to turn to Ezekiel 1 today, I just want to read to you the first couple of verses from Ezekiel 1. And it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Another way of saying it is he saw a revelation of God. His eyes were opened. Just as the apostle John saw a revelation of Jesus, Ezekiel also sees a revelation of Jesus. He sees God that's going to be coming as the Messiah. And this is that revelation that he's having here. Verse 2 says, "On the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity." In about 605 BC, Babylon attacked Jerusalem. This is when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were all taken into exile, into captivity. And then in about 580 BC, Babylon attacked them again. And there was a second exile, and this is when Ezekiel was taken into exile, into captivity, along with the king of Israel, who was Jehoiakim. So this was a pretty dark time in the history of God's people, in the history of Israel. But it actually was about to get darker, because in 565 BC, they attacked a third time. And before this happened, Ezekiel begins to have these visions about what's going to happen to his people. When Babylon attacked them the third time, what happened was they burned the temple and they burned most of the city of Jerusalem to the ground. And Ezekiel saw this happening. He saw this coming. And so he begins to go through a series of different things that God told him to do to warn the people. And just imagine, Ezekiel was not just a prophet, he was also a priest. And so he was very well respected among many of his people. But the people of God had continued to rebel against God. They had worshiped idols and false gods, and they had continued to live in their sin and not obey God. And so God was causing them I don't want to say God was causing, that they had stepped out from under the blessing of God. And whenever you step out from under his blessing, you step into a cursed existence. And so that's what's happening here. And it seems like all hope is gone for Israel. But as we learned last week, God is a covenant-keeping God. God has made a covenant with his people, and he has made a covenant, a new covenant with us today as well. He wasn't going to leave them in bondage and in hopelessness. And this brings us to Ezekiel chapter 17. I could have talked about a lot of things from the book of Ezekiel. It's a very interesting book. I could have talked about some of those interesting stories. One of the things that God asked Ezekiel to do was to lie on his left side for over a year. He had to lie on his left side for over a year. And then God tells him, all right, now flip over. And so he lies on his right side. God, how long? And he says, 40 more days. If I was Ezekiel, I probably would have said, at least it's not another year that I have to do this. But that's just one of those strange stories. God told him to eat some strange things. And it's really disgusting. I'm not going to tell you what God told him to eat today. We're not going to go on that here on this Sunday before Christmas. But I'll just tell you that it was pretty disgusting. Bear Grylls wouldn't eat some of this stuff. So, but God told him to do these strange things. I could have also talked, probably the most famous story in the book of Ezekiel is the story about the Valley of Dry Bones. And I actually did mention that a couple of weeks ago. But God led me to this passage in chapter 17. And I'll be reading this today from the New Living Translation. This is Ezekiel 17, starting in verse 22. It says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take a branch from the top of a tall cedar, and I will plant it on top of Israel's highest mountain. It will become a majestic cedar, sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in the shade of its branches, and all the trees will know that it is I, the Lord, who cut the tall tree down and makes the short tree grow tall. It is I who makes the green tree wither and gives the dead tree new life. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I said. Now look back in verse 22. God says, I will take a branch from the top of a tall cedar or a tall tree, like a big Christmas tree, and I will plant it on the top of Israel's highest mountain. Let me tell you what this tall tree represents. It represents three things. First of all, this tree represents the trunk or the size of the tree represents the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and it was prophesied that the Messiah was going to come through the tribe of Judah. The second thing that this tree represents, it says the top of the tree. He says, I will take from the top of the tree. The top of the tree represents the house of David. David was the top of the, if you think in status among the tribe of Judah, he had reached the top in status. He was their most favored and beloved king in Israel. He was the one who was the man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And God not only promised that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah, but he also promised David that through his direct lineage, the Messiah would be born. And then it says, I will take a branch from the top of this tall cedar. The branch represents the coming Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. God had made a promise that the Savior and Lord, the Savior of the world, would come from the tribe of Judah. David was from the tribe of Judah, and God promised David that through his seed, the Messiah would be born, and Jesus was born from the tribe of Judah to the house of David. Both Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his adopted father on earth, were from the house of David and the tribe of Judah. And so Jesus really is the fulfillment of not only of this prophecy, but so many of the other prophecies in the Old Testament. Jesus was born into the house of David in the tribe of Judah. God says, I will take a branch from the top of the big tree. This branch is Jesus. The top is David. And the tree itself is the tribe of Judah. And then he says, I will plant it on the tallest mountain in Israel. Verse 23. And it says this, it will become a majestic cedar. It will become majestic. Would you mind just saying the word majestic? Now, we don't say that word usually a lot unless we understand that it's referring to royalty. It's referring to royalty, majesty, majestic. You see, Jesus is much like, I know this, some of you say you're stretching, Keith. No, I don't think I am. God revealed this to me. I believe Jesus is just like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. Jesus is just like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree in that he's like a little branch that was mocked and despised and rejected. But you remember in the, how many of you have ever seen a Charlie Brown Christmas? Come on, come on. You remember how everybody mocked the little Christmas tree that Charlie Brown chose, but at the end it had become majestic? Do you remember that? Just like that, Jesus was this branch who was mocked and rejected and despised, ridiculed and crucified. But he was planted then by God, and he became majestic. He became a majestic tree. Let me tell you what this means to you and me today. Verse 23 says, it will become a majestic cedar, sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort. Bird, would you just mind saying every sort? Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in the shade of its branches. It says birds of every sort will nest in this tree. Number one, what this means to you and me today is that everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God. Everyone is welcome in God's kingdom. God made a covenant with the Jews first, and God never has broken that covenant. God never will break that covenant. If God can break his covenant with the Jews, then he can just as easily break his covenant with you and me. But he never breaks a covenant. As we talked about last week, he is a covenant-keeping God. In fact, covenant means permanent. It means forever. It means like a cut, forever. And God made a covenant with the Jews, and he has never broken that covenant. But as we learned also last week from the book of Jeremiah, he has also made a new covenant now through Jesus Christ. And this is that, not only the Jews, but everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross at Calvary, and that he gave his life for our sins and he rose again, everyone who believes that is welcome in the kingdom of God. This is good news today. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we just give him praise for that today? The second thing this means to you and me is that God says birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in the shade of its branches. Number two, God protects and provides for his children. Not only are we welcome in his kingdom, but when we come into his kingdom, God says, you are now my children. You are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Jesus really is the King of Kings. For the believer, you have refuge in God. Jesus is majestic. Keep in mind, even though we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus, he didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay a baby. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and in favor and in stature and favor with God and with man. He didn't stay a baby. And even though we thank him for the sacrifice he made at the cross of Calvary, he did not remain on that cross. And even though we rejoice in his resurrection, he didn't remain on this earth either. He did die for our sins. He did come as a baby in the manger. He did give his life at the cross, and he did rise again. But I want you to understand where he's at now. The Bible says he is seated now on a throne at the right hand of God. He is majestic now. He is the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and no one will ever dethrone him. Let's give him praise today. Come on. But let me tell you what this means. It means you as his children, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you as his children have nothing to fear. In his kingdom, you are welcome. And in his kingdom, he provides and he protects his own. He watches over you and you have nothing to fear. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, you don't even have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. For the believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you have refuge. You are protected and provided for. You can find shelter in the shade of his branches. Let me tell you one more thing that this means to you and me today, and this is in verse 24. It says, and all the trees will know that it is I, the Lord, who cuts the tall tree down. Now that's talking about all the enemies of God and all the enemies of his people. He says, I am the one who cuts the tall tree down and makes the short tree grow tall. It is I who makes the green tree wither and gives the dead tree new life. Now, I want you to remember again where Israel is. They're in exile, and it seems like all hope is gone. But this word comes and says, I will take care of the enemy. I am the one who makes the short tree grow tall. It is I who makes the green tree wither and gives dead tree new life. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I said. In other words, he was going to defeat their enemy. He was going to defeat their enemy and give them a new life. And that's exactly what God did for them. But can I just tell you, it's exactly what God has done for you today because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done. Now, what this means is simply this. Number three, with God, there's always hope. It seemed like hope was gone, that Jerusalem was about to be sacked. And in fact, it was. And it seemed like all hope was gone. But what Ezekiel says here, this is a prophetic word that comes. He says, I'm going to take from the tribe of Judah the tree, the tall cedar, from the top, from the house of David, a small branch, the Messiah. And even though he will be mocked and despised and rejected, I'm going to plant him, and he's going to become a majestic tree. And in doing this, listen, your enemy, the enemy of your soul, has been completely vanquished. He has been defeated because of what Jesus has done, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand today, there is hope. With God, there is always hope. I don't know where you are in your life. Some of you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the challenges that are facing you and that are ahead of you. But I want you to know, with God, all things really are possible. With God, all things are possible. Never give up hope. In fact, the word hope in the Bible means something more than what we may think today. You hear people, have you ever heard somebody say, don't get your hopes up? Maybe you've said it. or we'll say it like this a lot of times. We'll say, well, I hope so, but I don't know. You see, the way we kind of define hope, it's almost laced with doubt. But I want you to understand what hope from the Bible literally means. And this is both from the ancient Old Testament Hebrew as well as the Greek understanding of this word. Hope is a confident expectation that God will always do what he says. That's really what hope means. When you put your faith in God and believe that Jesus really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you can have confidence and expectation that all the promises, all the covenants of God are going to happen for you. Whatever it is you are facing, the challenges that are ahead of you, never lose hope. And here's why: because the King is on the job. Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he will always make a way for those who are in covenant relationship with him. Jesus really is the Christmas tree. The branch that was mocked and despised and rejected has become a majestic cedar, the King of Kings. He was born on Christmas Day under that Christmas star. And he grew in favor with God, the Bible says, and in favor with man, only to be despised and rejected. Planted as a tree on a high mountain. As a seed, he fell to the ground and died, but he rose again. He rose again. I said he rose again. Come on. And he has become the majestic King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus really is the Christmas tree. We are all welcome in his kingdom. There we will find refuge and protection and provision, and there we will find hope. So what is to be our response to this today? First of all, just like I said a second ago, we should rejoice and we should worship him. We should praise him. That should be a response. But let's look at what the scripture actually says should be our response. This is verse 23. It says, it will become a majestic cedar. Now hear this, sending forth its branches and producing seed. As disciples of Jesus, we're called to be those branches that are sent forth. We're called to be the ones that go and tell this good news to a lost and hopeless world, seeking refuge, seeking acceptance from the Father, from God, seeking the protection, the provision that comes from his kingdom. You see, he wants to transfer his kingdom into your life. And we're to be the ones that go and tell them. And even if they reject us, just realize they rejected him too. But even if they reject the message that we bring, we can still plant seed in their life. We can tell people the good news of what Jesus has done. And we can show them that there is a better life. And we can plant a seed of hope in their hearts. This is our part. I want to encourage you this week to never quit on your part of this covenant. God will never quit on his part. He will always provide a way, bring hope into your life. You are always welcome in his kingdom, and he will always provide that refuge, that protection, and that provision that you need. He will always show you a way. He'll bring that hope. He'll never quit on his part. But I want to encourage you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't ever quit on your part either. Continue to be a light in the darkness. Continue to be a far-reaching branch that plants seeds of hope in people's lives. Because right now, more than I think than ever before in history, the world out there needs hope. They need the light of the world. Amen? Are you thankful today for Jesus? Are you thankful for this mighty cedar, this majestic cedar? Let's stand to our feet and let's praise him today. Come on, stand to your feet and let's clap our hands to the Lord and let's give him a majestic, worthy praise today. Come on. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, God. We bless your holy name.